Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Jones Zone. Today, we're going to talk about feng shui. This is a fantastic topic that I know a lot of people are very, very interested in. And my guest today is Tanya, is an expert in feng shui. Tanya, tell us a little bit about yourself. What was your full name?
My full name is Chaitanya Yelapu.
Okay.
But it's easier for people to call me as Tanya, and it has become like my nickname, and everyone knows me as Tanya. I have been a feng shui practitioner for almost 2 decades now. And practicing, initially I started beginning with an authentic feng shui. Later I was blessed to learn from various masters all around the world where I have traveled and lived there to learn feng shui, authentic feng shui, and then I've been practicing.
So you're an expert.
I wouldn't say an expert. There is no end to learning. But yeah. I've got a lot of experience in this. Yes.
All right, good. So, well, let's dive right in. So explain the basic principles of feng shui for beginners, common mistakes people make or think about feng shui.
Certainly. Basically, feng shui is like harmonizing the energy around you for bringing in the prosperity and abundance into your life, right? And the common mistakes that people make are like thinking that it's kind of a religion, and try to think of it as a religion and try to adopt it as something that they're supposed to do rather than understanding it's nothing but the energy around them that they have to live, they have to understand and use it like a regular practice that they are using it. Maybe enhance it with certain colors or elements. That's it.
How does a homeowner apply these principles to improve living space?
So first, I would suggest a homeowner to find the facing of a property. So once you understand which direction the house is facing, then you can lay a bagua on your floor plan. Bagua is nothing but it has like a sectors that are already marked out on a compass. And when you lay down on your floor plan, you'll understand which sector is falling in which area. Therefore, each sector represents a certain element, a certain vibration, certain frequency. And when the person knows that this sector belongs to this certain energy, then they can enhance it. For example, if you're thinking about north, the north belongs to water element. They have to enhance with the element that corresponds to water. Then they can increase the vibration of that particular space.
Yeah, I was surprised. I had a property sold, and I was, when you talk about direction of the house, the front door, the direction of the front of the house, I was just thinking north, south, east, west, but it's more specific than that. You actually get into the degrees or tell
yes,
us a little bit about
it. It's very
that.
Accurate. Like, see, for these things, it's better for us to go with our luapan. We have this big luapan. It's like a compass.
Okay.
It's like a very big compass. It shows us a lot of things which can give us an accurate magnetic direction of the facing property. Our phones actually don't give us that accurate degree compass as much as luapan. But according to the Bagua, we have every 15 degrees as a sector. For example, like I was talking about North. North has 3 sectors. We call it North 1, North 2, North 3. So each sector, again, corresponds to a different, minute different energies.
So you have different sections, even 15 degrees. Or it's not just North, it's also, there's three
there
types
are three
of north.
Subsectors. We call them as North 1, North 2, North 3.
Okay.
And each have slight variation in the energies that they receive. But for a beginner, I would suggest you just go with north, northeast, northwest, make it into 8 subsectors.
Got it. And now, what is the most preferred direction?
There is no actually preferred direction. It depends on your personal astrological chart. So every person is born with a certain destiny and certain astrological chart, right? So that chart, we match it with the facing of the house. It differs. Each person is different.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that because I know I had some buyers that needed, if I remember correctly, or wanted, was it a south? No, I think it was an east-facing door. Does that have to do with feng shui or is that something
So
else?
There are certain, many principles are there. Like some people do vastu and vastu people In Vastu Shastra, many people want an east-facing or a north-facing home. So even in Vastu Shastra, I'm actually a doctorate in Vastu Shastra also.
Say that slower. What is it?
Vastu Shastra.
Vastu Shastra.
Shastra.
All right.
So I'm a doctorate in that also. But even that, the common mistake people make is they either go for an east-facing or a north-facing home. But I would say first check your astrological chart. Each person has a different astrological chart and a facing direction that corresponds with you.
Now, does all feng shui have to do with astrology as well?
It's actually, if you look at it, any feng shui practice, it's like three bases. First is what you're born with, heaven. And the second is where you're living, surroundings. That is, we call it as earth realm. The third one is man, what you do. So what you're born makes 33% of a difference in a man's destiny. So we need to look at your astrological chart before we determine what's happening in your house.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So, well, tell me this. How does feng shui impact a person's health and well-being?
So a person's health and well-being is very much dependent on feng shui. We basically look at the imbalances that are occurring in certain sectors of the home, right? So, for example, if I'm looking at a fertility issue, if a client comes to me and says they are trying to have a baby, but they're not successful in that, then I would focus my energy in what's happening in the southwest sector of their home. So if there is any imbalance in that particular sector, it greatly affects the mother of the home. All right. There is another segment in feng shui. We call it as flying stars. It's more authentic branch of feng shui where we look at the stars. Each star, each number in those flying star corresponds to a particular planet. And that also gives us an indication of what's going on with their fertility problem. And then we try to balance it out.
Wow, that's fascinating. Well, you know, there are a couple things that obviously selling houses, I get asked this question, and there are a couple things, and I want to ask you if these are real or not, or in terms of philosophies or thoughts. One thing is there are a lot of people that don't want the stairs to face the front door.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate, 100%. Because what happens is when you open the door, there is energy coming, right? And when the energy is coming, you want the energy to be open, free, flowing, which we call it as Ming Tang. Ming Tang means an open area right in front of your door. But when there is an energy, it is blocking that energy to flow through your whole house. It has to either go up, which is a struggle for energy to do, so it won't go properly. And if it is going down, some houses have a stairs that's going down right in front of the door. Then energy is rushing down, which is again not good.
And then I heard also, when you open the door, it's important to not be able to see all the way through into the backyard. Is that
so? It's open. It's better not to see the backyard door.
Oh, the door.
The door. It's not whether you can see the backyard. You should not see the backyard door as soon as you open the front door.
Got it.
It should not be in line.
Got it. And then even positioning, for example, on a cul-de-sac or a T. In other words, is it true that you wouldn't want to be at the end of a cul-de-sac, if that makes sense.
This is something like the energy I was talking about, the door and the stairs, right? It is similar. See, imagine yourself standing in front of a road that is ending, right? It's like a T-junction, and you're standing right in front of that ending of that road. What happens if a car is coming fast? It's like coming fast and it can't stop. The brakes are not working. What happens? You're gone. Mm. It'll hit directly. So it's something similar to that. When an energy, a house is in the end of the cul-de-sac and the road is facing that, it's that energy that is gushing towards it. We want energy always to be meandering, slow, easy to flow. It should not be gushing. It should not be forced.
Got it. All right. That makes sense. How about colors? Colors, lighting, plant choices in a home affect feng shui and the balance of yin and yang energies?
Absolutely. We use colors to enhance any sector. For example, if you're looking at south, south belongs to sector fire, right? So fire is like red colors and all those pink, yellows, and all these colors belong to the fire element. And if that area is not balanced, for example, you have a lot of blues. Blue represents water element and it clashes, fire and water clashes. So we add more of fire colors to enhance that area and suppress the negativity. The lighting is something like this. If you're in a corridor, walking through the corridor, there is no lighting. It's very yin, right? Very depressing. you feel like dull, you don't feel like doing anything. As soon as there is light, vibrant sunshine energy, you feel like doing something, singing, dancing, whatever. That energy is just bubbles up. So light adds that sunshine. It's that yang energy. When there is no light, it's yin. When there is full of light, it's yang. So we need that balance.
Got it. Now, are there any houses that you've seen that there's nothing that can be done? Or is there always something that can be done?
99.9% we can do something, but 0.01% we cannot do. Ooh. Then I give up my hands. But I do try. At least I tell them, give me some time. I do try if there are certain things. For example, the majority of the cases that I tell them I cannot do anything is when there is a geopathic stress. We call it Hartmann lines that are running underneath the building, especially if it falls in front of your door. If it is anywhere else, we try to manage it by drilling the earth. But if it's right in front of the door, it's very difficult to send that energy away.
That makes sense. So what are some of simple feng shui changes for prosperity? How does the layout of furniture impact the flow of qi?
So I would suggest, like, for example, if you're working from home, right? And you have an office desk, you need to make sure that office desk is properly aligned to your energy. The simple rules without looking at the astrological chart or a new person to feng shui can do is have your chair backing to a solid wall. It should never be behind a door or a window, because then you feel like someone is trying to stab you. If you have a solid wall, you have the support, you have the authority, you have the power to do things. If you look at any CEO of any company, they always have a solid wall behind them. And they can see the door right in front of them. When you can see these two things happening, it's easy. Prosperity or abundance comes through, first is financial wealth, right? And how does financial wealth come? Through how you work. And if you can place your desk, office desk properly, half the problems are solved.
Wow. I need to come over and arrange my desk right when we leave here.
Absolutely.
So what's the importance of the five elements in feng shui? And what are those five elements?
So five elements are the basic foundation of feng shui, or even Vastu Shastra for that matter, or even there are many branches like Chinese medicine or Ayurveda. Everything is basically dependent on these five elements. Five elements are nothing but, it's like a complete creation. For example, I'll tell you how it goes. Take earth, for example. Earth creates metal by digging its core. It gives us the resources to get metal. And metal, in turn, through condensation, creates water, right? And water produces wood by the plants. Plants need water to grow, right? And that wood, when it's burnt, it produces fire, right? And when that fire is burnt out, it produces ash. And that ash creates earth. So you can see it's a complete cycle. So even the house is based on those five elements, and it's that complete circle that goes through. If there is any imbalance in that circle, we try to manage it by controlling these five elements.
And so you've earth, water, fire,
metal and wood.
Got it. So what are some specific tips for creating a peaceful bedroom using feng shui? You talked to us a little bit about the home office design, but how about bedrooms?
So for bedrooms, I would say the same. Have a solid wall in the back. Many times I've seen clients where they have a window right behind their headboard, right? So what happens if you have a window right behind your headboard is you won't be able to sleep properly, because external factors will influence your sleep. Your head is almost near to the window, and window is almost a clear opening to the outside area. And whatever is happening outside, you can easily feel it. So it is not that yin. For a person to sleep, you need yin energies in the bedroom. So it's always better to sleep with a solid wall on the back. If you cannot sleep with a solid wall in the back and you need to sleep under a window, make sure you close it with the solid blackout curtains. And the other two things that I want any couple to do in a bedroom is everything, have it in doubles, like two nightstands, two lamps.
Symmetry,
because it's a couple that is staying. It's two people. If we have single, it represents a single life. So we want a couple to have a happy romantic life, right? So we want everything to be in doubles. And the other thing in the bedroom that I would recommend very highly is have only the couple's pictures, happy couple moment pictures, no family pictures in the bedroom, because it's your place. It's your romantic space. You have to connect. When you are happy, the whole family is happy.
Interesting. That's true. So how does feng shui differ in various cultural contexts around the world?
So basically, if you look at it, the feng shui has actually originated in China. It has a lot of Buddhist influences. It has taken a lot of stuff from the Buddhist cultures. But every culture, every religion has taken this feng shui and adapted to their own particular way of living. But the core of feng shui remains the same, no matter how much you change it, right? The basic five elements are the same. How you adapt it a little bit to your own new way of living is something that you do.
So, yeah, because it originated in China.
Yes.
So, and I've noticed that it does seem like a lot of Chinese really pay attention to that. You're from India.
Yes, I am.
And India, it's very big. Are there any other countries where you see it pretty popular?
Now, I would say all over the world.
Yeah, I know. Right after that question slipped out of my mouth, I thought, wait a minute, I don't know if that question is very smart.
Predominantly, I would say Philippines, Europe, quite a bit, and quite a bit in Mexico. You'd be surprised.
Oh.
A lot of Spanish community actually uses feng shui quite extensively.
Interesting. So can you share some of the success stories that you've had in transforming to achieve feng shui? Do you have any good stories for us?
Oh, there's so many. But one that really touched my heart was, for example, I'll tell you this story. Once a client called me, they were in their 40s, okay? And they told me that they were trying to have a baby, but they were not successful since past 20 years almost, Ooh. Right? So... And they told me that we want to have a baby, but currently my wife was diagnosed with cancer. So here I have two challenges in front of me. A couple who are trying to have babies at the age of 40s, almost at the end of age of 40s, and I have to deal with cancer. So first priority is I have to deal with cancer. So as previously stated about geopathic stress that in front of the door, it had a similar situation in this house. The geopathic stress was passing under their bed, especially the woman's bed. So first we tried to change that. We did so many feng shui changes in their home. Luckily, she was completely out of cancer. She's completely cured. It took us almost a year to get her completely out of it. And now there is no single morsel cell in her body with cancerous cell. That was a great news. And then we shifted our focus from healing her to having a baby. We made all the changes in the home according to that. And now this was like 3 years ago that we started this journey. Now they have a baby who is 1 year old.
Oh my goodness. That is a great story.
That is a great story. And when the lady found out that she's pregnant, the first thing she did was call me from the doctor's office crying, saying that, Tanya, I'm pregnant. I'm about to have a baby.
I'm getting chills right now. That's
yeah,
a fantastic
it was like,
story.
I was like middle of a client meeting. And when I get clients who are in a serious situation, no matter where I am with whichever client, I try to attend them as much as I can. So whenever I get a call from this particular client, I try to attend it because we don't know what's happening, right? So when I lifted, she said, Tanya, I'm at the office. She just confirmed I'm having a baby.
Wow.
It was like, I was almost in tears.
How long ago was this?
This was like 2 years ago.
How is little baby Tanya?
The baby is doing pretty well now.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's a really cool story. So
yeah.
How does modern technology and electronic devices fit into feng shui, or do they?
They actually do quite a bit because we have to deal with something called EMF radiation. Now with all these devices,
EMF,
electromagnetic field.
Got it.
So every device that we use has certain EMF radiation that it is radiating, right? And that affects our health. So we need to make sure we are subduing that energy. So for every client's house I go, the first big no-no I tell them is no work in the bedroom. Do not get your laptops. You're here to sleep. Mm. Have a restful night. Then you can work in the next day. So the first thing is no laptops in the bedroom. And your cell phone, please keep it a little bit, at least 10 feet away.
Ooh.
That is very difficult in the current trends. But because when you keep that cell phone right next to your head, it is radiating that EMF, which will affect our cells, our atom, at our atomic level. So it's not a good thing to have them. So if the EMF radiation is very high, for example, outside we see an electric pole, right? Many houses do have that. And those houses have a lot of EMF radiation because they have such a huge power source right in front of their house or behind their house. So we use something called electromagnetic field shields. We get those. We try to implement those so that they subdue that energy.
What does that look like? What's an electronic?
It's again an electronic device. We plug it in. It tries to subdue the
radiation. I was picturing like a big mirror or a big piece of metal.
No, we even use crystals to some extent. We use clear quartz crystals. But that will help only if the electromagnetic field is at a very lower level. But if it is very high, like an electric power source outside, then we need to use that instrument.
And what's it called again?
It's an electromagnetic field shield.
Oh, interesting. So is there a connection between feng shui and any environmental sustainability?
Oh, yeah. We see, feng shui is basically we try to use resources that are very eco-friendly, like whether we are using any materials, we make sure that are eco-friendly. We want a future generation to have a good life, even we do. So we do try to, whenever I'm trying to recommend any appliances or any materials, I try to tell them to use eco-friendly. But it is not basically a feng shui thing. It is basically I want my future generation to lead a good life.
Yeah, so you can, you even chime in, for lack of a better term, advise on appliances.
Yes, I do. Because, see, appliances, if they are, we call them energy efficient appliances, right? So we are using less energy. So saving more of natural resources from our earth's core. It is again helping our earth, and that is the earth element.
How does solar play into that in any way, shape, or form?
So solar energy is a very tricky question in our feng shui world. So solar panels are kept above the roof, right? And there is a big metal with a glass on top of it that is placed on top of the roof. So it is very crucial that where it is placed at. If it is placed right above your bedroom, then that will cause disturbances in your sleep. So if you're planning to put a solar panel right above your roof, make sure that it is above your living room, not on top of your bedroom.
Got it.
You want a restful sleep, the energy to be yin.
Right.
Not working on top of your head.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what it's not even on my list of questions. I was just thinking solar is such a big thing now. And it seems like
we have so many controversies and debates. Some are for it, some are not for it, some are like strict no.
Really?
But I would suggest go for it. It is saving our core planet. So I would say just go for it. But make sure it's not on your bedroom.
And you did say, you mentioned Chinese, you mentioned India, or China, India. And they will vary, they'll be a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. See, the core is same, but every country, every religion adapts it and completely changes it according to their own needs.
Okay, because when you had mentioned it, some are against the solar and some are for it, etc. So how about outdoor spaces? How can feng shui principles be adapted for outdoor spaces like gardens or patios?
Oh, very much. See, for example, in a garden, many people in California especially, we have pools, right? So there are a couple of things. When you have such a big of water source, we need to make sure that it is at a proper location. One thing is we have many pools in the backyard. If you have a pool in the backyard, make sure you have a fence that is quite high so that it gives you support. Otherwise, it's like draining your energy.
So pools are overall good or bad or indifferent?
It depends on where it is.
Okay, it matters where it's at.
It's detrimental if it is in a bad location. For example, if you have a pool in a south location, south belongs to fire energy.
Oh.
And you have such a big water source, it just clashes. South is like sun. This is water. When they do clash, it creates a sizzle, but at the same time, it's detrimental to finances.
What about west? That's where my pool's at.
West is okay to some extent.
Okay. All right.
The ideal places for pool is north, east, southeast, and southwest. But I would say big no-no if it is in the south.
How can feng shui be integrated with modern interior design styles? Have you know? Because I know in the last 30 years, you know, floor plans have become so much more open. I mean, I jokingly talk about how pretty soon the builders are just going to build four walls and that's it. And whereas I'll sell a home that was built in the 50s and everything's compartmentalized and it's much, you know, the kitchen's by itself, closed off, etc. Are there any modern interior design styles? How is that affected feng shui or integrated with feng shui?
So basically when feng shui was actually written by ancients, at that point of the time, there was no kitchen in the house.
Oh.
There's no restroom in the house. Everything was outside,
yeah.
Right? Now we have everything of those inside. So we have incorporated, we have changed all those according to how we deal with feng shui, right? The way we use modern contemporary designs now is through colors, through shapes, through materials. See, just because this feng shui was written in ancient times, we don't want our homes to look ancient. So we have adapted that. We call it refurbished or remodeled feng shui with the usage of those five elements. We use colors, shapes, and materials to change it and make it more contemporary.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's good to have those solutions. I was happy to hear you say that 99.9% of properties can be improved.
Yes.
And that's a big deal. So. And now what about mirrors? I've heard talk about mirrors. And in fact, when you had talked about that earlier about electromagnetic blockage or something, I pictured a mirror myself. Do you guys use mirrors to help out?
Quite extensively.
Yeah?
So mirrors have this two effects. One effect is a doubling effect because you see, right? You yourself are there and you can see yourself in the mirror. So they're like two people, right?
Right.
So it has the doubling effect. So we try to place a mirror in front of the dining area where it projects the dining table. Because according to the ancient texts, dining table is where the prosperity comes from. Because we all eat our food. There is abundance. So when the mirror is faced to the dining table, it improves your abundance, your prosperity. A big no-no for mirrors is when you have it right in front of any door or window. As soon as you open a door, you should not see a mirror. Because what it does is the energy is trying to come in, but as a mirror has an effect of reflecting it back. You see yourself,
right.
What it is doing. It's reflecting your image back to you, right?
Right?
So it has that. So the energy which is coming in, it is again going out. Whereas it has to come in and spread into the house. That's how the energy brings in prosperity, right? But if you have it right in front of the door, it is reflecting out.
I'm thinking of my house. The negative is when it's right there, because oddly enough, I have a mirror that's off to the side, up real high.
That's fine.
That's probably okay.
Mirrors should not be compartmentalized. Nowadays, it's a big thing, like with the contemporary designs. We need to make sure it's not... contemporary is something we blend with energy and colors and materials, right? But if a mirror is very compartmentalized, how do you look at a mirror? You're looking like parts, bits and pieces. It's not good. When you look at a mirror, you need to see your complete self. Nothing should be broken apart.
Got it.
So make sure your mirror is not in front of a door, a window, and it's not compartmentalized small pieces.
Interesting. So can feng shui influence the selection of a property or the architecture of a house? Can feng shui selection?
Absolutely, 100%. So any client, I would say, for them is first call me before you select a house, because then we can select a property that suits your astrological chart. Things will flow easily. Second is what's happening in your external factors, how the road is coming, like the cul-de-sac, or we call them Y junction or a T junction or something called a scissor junction, or how the houses are next to you. If you don't have any house on your left side, the man of the house will feel inferior in the house. And if you don't have a house on your right side, the woman of the house will feel inferior in the house.
Wow. That just hit home. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
And if you don't have anything up high in the back, you'll feel like not secure enough. There is something you're scared of always. So these are the things that external factors we need to look at. And some factors we can easily minimize. So we say, okay, we can do something about it. You still can take this property. Everything else is great. But certain things we cannot change.
What would one do? Let's say if there's nothing to the left, there's not a house to the left of the house. What would be the remedy for that? Or is there one?
Yes, there is. You can build a fence and have tall, very tall plants, almost creating a fence, creating effect of a house. You should not have completely empty this thing. The plant should be equal to your roof. It's balanced. It's all about feng shui. It's all about balancing the yin and yang. So as much, that's why I said 99.9%, we try to balance it out.
That makes a lot of sense. So how does one cleanse a space of negative energy according to feng shui?
Negative energy is all around us. Well. Every now and then, we need to cleanse that negative energy. The simplest and the easiest way to do is take a singing bowl and a sage.
What?
Singing bowl. So nowadays, you get these bowls like a metal bowl with a wooden stick. And you ring that all over the house, start from your front door.
A bell and just tap.
Just ringing the metal bowl, it gives like a nice humming sound, which cleanses with sound energy.
Because I play the Rolling Stones. Would that work?
It's just metal. But make sure piano is better.
Okay.
And take a smudge stick and go again, starting from the front door all the way around and come back to the front door. But do these two things while with an intention of positive energy flowing into the house. Don't speak any negative. Don't say like negative energy, leave my house.
So it's more about bringing more positive energy in than getting rid of negative energy.
Yes.
Because the positive energy will get rid of the negative
energy. Negative energy.
I may be slow, but I catch on.
You're very fast.
All right. So are there any specific feng shui guidelines for children's rooms or play areas?
The common rule, same common rule, command position. Have a solid wall behind your bed and the desk where the child is sitting on his chair. His back should be to a solid wall. The second thing that you need to observe is the poison arrows. Make sure there are no sharp objects pointing to where the kid is sleeping or studying.
And what? Give us an example of a sharp. I mean, we have the obvious sharp objects, swords, knives, but nobody has those in your rooms. What's it, like a vase or a corner of a table?
Yes. For example, a corner of a table or a pillar. Some rooms have pillars that are protruding right where the child is sitting and studying. So that is a poison arrow. The simplest thing you can do is put a plant. Control that poison arrow pointing towards the kid.
Yeah, softens it up.
Softens it up.
That makes a lot of sense. So what advice do you have for incorporating feng shui in home renovations?
Look for the best date. So something we call it as auspicious date selection.
The date, the actual day of the year.
Yeah, actual day of the year. Because every house has certain facing. And certain facings have certain days that you can do renovations. And certain facings, certain days you're not supposed to do the renovations. So if you select a good day for starting those renovations, things will go pretty easily. And the second thing I would say is if you're doing any digging into the earth core, give your gratitude and say your sorries to the earth that you're digging, you're trying to hurt the earth.
Well, that makes sense. See, it's funny. I'm reminded by, I remember a house that I sold a few years back that we were ready to go on the market. For example, let's say it was on a Tuesday. I don't remember the exact date or day. And they said, no, we need to hold off till Thursday. So I'm guessing that was potentially feng shui too?
For sale, especially for a house to go onto sale into the market, we look at date very much because that will increase the chances like that.
So, and it's more, when you say date, it's the date, the actual date, opposed to the day of the week?
No, it's the actual date.
Right. So it doesn't matter if it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's the actual date.
Okay, the date. Oh, that's fascinating. So how can, let's do this. How can listeners get started with feng shui if they are on a budget?
See, nowadays with this DNA age, we have everything. Google do this, yeah. Google do that. But I would suggest is do your due diligence, because there are so many resources out there. Some are right, some are wrong. So do more research and try to see where they're talking and whether the person talking is authentic or not. So do your due diligence before implementing it in your home. The second thing I would say is do one thing at a time. If you're changing your desk according to the command position and all those things, do just that thing. Don't do your bed, your desk, and all those things at once. The energy doesn't know how to react. So if you're doing one thing at a time, observe the change, observe the shift. How, if you're moving your desk, observe how your work is going through.
And when you say one thing at a time, how long would you give it? Would you do it for a month later, a week later, a day later?
3-4 days. That's okay. Good.
Oh, fascinating.
And if you're doing anything with water, especially water fountains, you don't even need 3-4 days. One day is good to know the effect.
So yeah, on that note, so water fountains are basically, for the most part, a positive thing.
If it is in the right sector.
Wow, it has to be in the right sector.
Otherwise, it is very detrimental.
Not the south, from my recollection, right?
Yeah, and for example, flying stars. I told you in one of our questions, I was talking about flying stars, right? It's basically a planet shifting from one position to another, and we give each planet a particular number. For example, Mercury, we call it as 1, which belongs to north sector, right? And this year, we have something called a star 5, in 2024, with the Lunar New Year going to west sector. We do not want any water activation that is moving like a fountain in the west sector from 2024 lunar year that starts in February to 2025 February.
Well, I think this is something that's going to be a learning moment. So your positioning of everything could literally change in 2 years and have to be, can I get reevaluated?
Yes, because planets are not constant.
Right.
They're moving. So our house energy shifts. Our astrological chart shifts. One day I'm doing great. The next moment, I don't know, something hit.
Wow. Now, well, I mentioned fountains as one thing. Is there another common decorative item that may be a good thing to have?
Assuming crystals.
Crystals.
Crystals are pretty good. Especially, I use a lot of quartz crystals because it cleanses this EMF radiation and cleanses our negative thoughts. People who are suffering with depression, I use a lot of quartz crystal in their rooms, and quartz, and I used amethyst also, because amethyst belongs to fire element and it increases a little bit of fire element. Generally, depression is when the person is going through a lot of metal and water element. So we need to subdue these two elements by introducing fire.
Wow, that's fascinating. Wow. All right. Well, this has just been so fascinating and enlightening to me. I mean, this is just awesome. If any of our listeners would want to get a hold of you for an evaluation or questions, et cetera, how would be the best way for them to contact you?
They can go to my website, www.tanyafengshui.com.
And Tanya spelled?
T-A-N-Y-A.
Y-A.
Fengshui.com. Or
and feng shui actually is feng shui spelled different ways, or is it F-E-N-G-S-H-U-I?
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
That's it.
Sorry about that, just in case people don't know.
So my whole website is TANYAFENGSHUI.com.
All right. Well, that's fantastic.
And they can message me, and I try to respond back within 24 hours.
Oh, and that's the best way for people to contact.
That's the best way. They can call me also. And my number is 503-686-9307.
All right. I was glancing at it because I'm not sure. You know, not everybody's feeling comfortable to give out their number
People. We love more business.
Yeah, you got to have people be able to get a hold of you, of course. So, well, Tanya, this has just been fantastic. This has been one
Thank
of my favorite
you.
Shows. This is fascinating information. And hopefully our listeners are going to get a lot from it. And if any of you that have questions, please contact Tanya. And I'm sure she can help you out. And again, thank you so much for coming today and being my guest here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's been great. So, all right. Well, thank you again, everybody. And please subscribe to the station if you like what we've provided for you. We've got additional shows that cover anything and everything that has to do with real estate. Somehow related to housing and living. So hopefully you found this enjoyable and other episodes. And again, thank you again for joining us and have yourself a great week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.